Hi, guys, and welcome to Cycles News and Views. It is December the 4th, and I have with me again Ed Dowd. Ed, it's been quite a while, but here we are. It's been, we've been watching this thing, and finally we have something to talk about, but where do we begin?
Well, Tim, it's good to be here again, and I think what I'd like to do is ask you about the great call you made. You said several months ago, I think in October, that we were going to better the August high put in the markets. And why don't you explain to people why you thought that, and then we can go from there.
Well, Ed, back there was some cycle highs due in August time frame, and as we moved into those highs, actually, some of the DNA markers, I call them, that, things I need to see to, quantitative things I need to see to identify a higher degree top, they were lost. For example, the Dow theory non-confirmation and Dow theory primary bearish trend change was reversed, and there was just some things that changed there that told me that August high was not a longer-term top. And so I knew from then that, on the one hand, while we had those intermediate degree tops in place in August, I knew that once we had moved down into the intermediate term low, which was due in the fall, I knew it was due in the September-October time frame, and I knew that once we had, had made that low, that we should see the August high bettered. What I did not anticipate was the strength of this thing. To see that move reversed in, I think it was 23 or 24 days, was just a phenomenal move. But, because we didn't have those markers, it was an alone call, but it was right. And, here we are.
Well, I'd love for you to maybe talk a little bit about what you saw cycle-wise in terms of the four-year cycle top in 22, and I believe you are now thinking we had the four-year cycle low in October of last year, I believe it was.
Yeah. In October of 22, Ed, it was an unusual low. It wasn't ideally due. Cycles, let me digress for just a minute and explain something. The cycles, one of the problems that I see that people, that try to apply some sort of a cyclical approach to the markets is they look at cycles as being rigid, and they're not. And an example of that, a simple example of that is just, look at the seasons of the year. Sometimes, the winter comes late, and sometimes it comes early. Sometimes it's cold, and sometimes it's not. And so the cycles are fluid. They breathe a little bit. But and I have markers to help me identify, common denominators to help me identify those cycle tops and bottoms. So, ideally, just from a timing perspective, that four-year cycle low wasn't due until late 23 to early 24, probably more like early 24. And maybe even mid-24. So, with that target in mind, that time target in mind, to have seen that low in October of 22 was very unusual, but I saw other markers, if you will, they fell in place. So I knew, pretty much, not immediately, but shortly thereafter, coming out of the October 22 low, that we had probably seen the four-year cycle low, and as the advance continued, it just further confirmed. And then, digressing back to the August high, I knew, again, because those markers weren't in place with that high, that the four-year cycle advance coming out of that 22 low was still intact. And now with that high bettered, we're in an environment where we can start to look once again for evidence of that four-year cycle top, in the context of a higher degree top, by the way.
Now, the question everyone wants to know is, we had a big top in January of 2022 in the stock markets, in the S&P 500, the Dow, and the NASDAQ. And then, again, we had this our economic indicators, early cycle indicators at Finance Technology showed a huge downturn. We saw this summer an uptick in our economic cycle and indicators. They're still negative, still indicating recession. The timing of it, obviously, officially, we'll find out, you know, afterwards. But economic activity is not good. It bounced a little bit, but it doesn't seem to be accelerating. And I guess the question is, this current advance, could it go to a new all-time high? Is it poised to stop short of that? What are you thinking? What are you expecting? And talk a little bit about some of the other things you look at, you know, commodities and interest rates.
Ed, there is a specific setup. I try to tie every cycle to some anchor points, because otherwise, how do you know? I mean, if you understand that cycles are fluid, then you have to have something to anchor them. So you have to have some, you know, some common denominators along the way to guide you. And, you know, this may sound crazy to say, people may not understand it, I know you will, but while on the one hand, I didn't have the markers in place to tell me that the August high was the four-year cycle top, I knew that a new high was out there, or should have been out there, you know, based on, you know, data. And that, again, that proved correct. But now I don't have, at this time, data to tell me. I mean, it has to develop. I don't know how long this is going to run. It's going to run until those markers occur. And so that's not an answer, but it is the answer. You know, I have to see structure, and when I say structure, a specific cyclical structure that I'm looking for, and I have to see that structure with those markers that were absent at the August high. I have to see them in place. That could occur in a month. It could occur in 6 months. I don't know. And to give you a couple of examples of that, I can give two. In 07, when the equities peaked in July, August, whatever it was, in the summer, those markers were absent.
I believe equities peaked in October, November.
Right. But I'm talking about the first peak. There was a high, and then we turned down into a – and those markers were absent. And then we turn down into a low, and I'm not looking at a chart. It's been long enough. I don't remember exactly when that high net low was made. It was in the summer. I remember that. And we didn't have the markers, and I said, nope, we need one more rally. We need one more push, synonymous, if you will, with this push above the August high, that sort of thing. And then we got that push into October, bada-bing, bada-boom. Everything fell in place. The structure fell in place, and then it was on. And so what I'm saying is it can happen quickly like that, and maybe it does, maybe it doesn't.
The point we should, you know, we don't want to, we're not calling a top because we don't have a structure, but it could happen, literally it could happen in the next 4 weeks or 6 months. But we are very precarious. The situation is very dangerous. And we'll talk about why we think that's the case, but the bottom line is this could set up quickly, and we believe, and I know you believe, and I believe, when this thing gets going, it's going to be fast.
Absolutely, and I can give some we can get into some of that big picture stuff as to why, but you know, another example of that was back in, you know, 2020 at that top, it peaked, I believe, in December. We didn't have what we needed. And then, you know, we got that little push up into, I believe it was early February, and bada bing, bada boom, everything fell in place, and it happened quickly. Then you look back at say the 2000 top, things fell in place, but then it just levitated. So I don't know, again, just to reiterate, I don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but I know what we're looking for to tell us that it is happening. And since we have bettered the August high, we're back in the environment now where it can, if that makes sense. But you know, everybody's talking about, I sent you some screenshots over the weekend, and it's amazing how all of a sudden everybody's talking about this soft landing. I say everybody. Yeah, the stories are starting to come out.
Well, what's interesting about that is a mere, 4 to 8 weeks ago, Secretary Yellen and others were saying there was going to be no recession. Now the language is shifting to soft landing. which is very interesting. You know, I do think we should talk a little bit about what happened in the spring of this year. It looked like, you know, we had the four-year cycle top in equities in January of 22, new all-time high. We had a low in October of 22, which we've now figured out is the four-year cycle low. And that didn't necessarily need to be the four-year cycle low. But then in the spring, there was some issues, big issues. It looked like interest rates were trying to roll over. We had bank failures out of nowhere, fast. Silicon Valley Bank, Republican National Bank, some of the largest bank failures ever. Then the Fed did what I think was a short-term fix, and at the time I made some predictions. I said they don't want this thing to unravel quickly, so they want to control it. I was predicting interest rate cuts fairly quickly by June. I was wrong. They continued to hike, and what I didn't know, that the bank term funding program that they implemented after the bank failures would work as well as it did to stave off the deposit flight from the other regional banks. All it's done is put a Band-Aid on, because depositors are still fleeing to go to higher interest rate bearing T-bills and money market funds. And I also didn't predict the government would be the credit creation vehicle of the economy, because there is no credit creation outside of the government at the moment. So they spent a boatload of money, deficit scene. So they've been able to keep this afloat, stave off the completion of the big washout that we think is coming. And here we are yet again for another four-year cycle top. I think, in my humble opinion, having worked with you for a long time and understanding your cycles, I think it also ends up bearing out that this rally that we've seen has been so fast and so furious. That's very bearish, in my humble opinion. It feels like they continue to try to save this thing, but given what we're seeing with commodities and whatnot, it seems to me like they're just trying to stave off what's coming. And I think this is where we should talk about your six economic cycles and kind of flash out to, like, the long term, the very, very long term. Do you want to go into that a little bit?
Ed, yes. You actually the perfect setup to talk about that. That my mind went there. It is amazing what we have seen. Let me try to lay this out. One thing that I have figured out or discovered, I think it's gold. This discovery that I have identified, going back to 1800, that there have been six long term economic cycles, and
as measured by what?
I'm measuring it by raw material / commodity pricing. And economic, which is a function really of economic activity, if you will. And to give some examples, what I also learned looking at these cycles, I mean, they're like these perfect sine waves. They're beautiful. And what I discovered looking at it and understanding market history, and you and I were, I called you and told you about this, and it's ironic that I discovered this back in the spring, right when the banking crisis, started. But what I discovered was that not only these six cycles, but understanding market history, I figured out quickly that every major financial panic and crisis has occurred in conjunction with the downside piece or the downturn out of one of these long-term economic cycles. And to give just a couple examples, the first one was, you know, back in 1818 to 1819, there was, you know, they called it the Great Panic of 1818, 1819, and there was a second one as that downturn continued into 1837. And then you had, with the second cycle, there was a crisis of 1873, followed by a second one of 20 years later, 1893. And then, you know, there were some minor little glitches with the third cycle in 1914. And then in 1920, actually, there was one that was caused from the overextension of credit following World War One, and then it ultimately climaxed with the speculative period that led into 29 and the downturn out of 29. And then, you know, the fourth cycle, it wasn't a big deal. No banking issues really there that I recall reading about. I mean, I was a kid, but, you know, we had the bear market of 66 to 74. That was the fourth downturn of a long-term economic cycle. And then where it gets real interesting was the fifth cycle, long-term economic cycle, peaked with the 2000 top. And, you know, my work showed that was the organic top of the economy, the organic top of the market. That was a monumental, best word I know to describe it, organic top. And coming out of the low that followed in 2002, that's where all this stuff that you were just talking about was born, if you will, the manipulation, the expansion of credit, and it has led to, in short, the biggest bubble in history. And this has been going on now for 20 years. And the first time that this long-term cycle, the current long-term economic cycle, tried to peak was in 2007. And if you just think back, you know, and I say you, I know you know, but, you know, the audience, if you just think back, you know, following the 2009 low, what did they do? You know, it was deemed the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. Everybody's forgotten about that. Now, looking back on it, it seems like it was nothing. But that they you know, the government spending, they called it QE and money printing and all this, but it was, in reality, it was manipulation, it was extreme government spending. And if you look at a chart of which I don't have in front of me, but we're talking about it off the cuff as I recall, I'm looking at government spending, each, try to draw this in your mind, you have the total cumulative government debt throughout time. And then I ran some rates of change on, of that cumulative line. And what you see is following the, you know, coming out of the 2002 low, we saw the biggest rate of change increase in government, the expansion of debt ever. And then as we come out of the 2009 low, we see a stair step up, even a larger expansion of debt coming out of that low. And then we fast forward to the second time that this long-term economic cycle tried to peak. You know, going into 18-19, I was watching it set up. I was seeing the pieces, parts coming together. I was figuring this thing out. And then it set up with the top in 2020. And then coming out of that low, we saw even a greater stair step, if you will, in the rate of government spending. So you're right, Ed. Every time it tries to set up, we see this sort of thing. And they've saved it twice, this sixth long-term economic cycle, which the whole thing, in my opinion, has been on the back of, like you said, government spending instead of real economic growth. And like I said, it's tried to set up twice. This last save job, if you will, following COVID, you know, we saw it was a reinflation effort, in my opinion, looking at it from the financial side, looking at the market. It allowed them to reinflate via the supply chain induced inflation, via, we talked about this a long time ago, also through the engineered rate hiking cycle. This has all been inflationary to keep this bubble going, to keep it alive through this generation of inflation. And now here we sit at a juncture again where we can see that setup take place. So that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with, it's not just a four-year cycle top. It is a bubble. It's not just a sixth economic cycle. It's the bubble of all bubbles that's been driven largely by an attempt to save it.
The sixth economic cycle has been long, has it been longer than the other cycles because of the stick saves that have occurred?
Not yet. Not at this point. I don't think we've ever seen anything like this as far as the level of intervention. But, and when I say that, I reiterate, I think from what I can see, that this entire, you know, post-2002 period, for the most part, has been on the back of the effort. You know, it started out, remember when they said they just wanted to bridge the gap? Remember that? And that has expanded into, what was the price tag on the COVID relief package, whatever they called it? It was $6-7 trillion, $8-9 trillion, whatever. I don't even remember the number in total. I don't remember, but, you know, I know it was much, much greater than what we saw, in following the 2009 low. Like I said, each crisis, if you will, or each attempted downturn has been followed by, you know, much, much greater spending. And it's just created a bigger and bigger bubble. It's fixed nothing. And so now here we sit. So to your point, you're 100% right. And but looking at it from this sixth economic cycle, it gives you a graphical representation of what we're seeing and what we're dealing with.
Well, you know, what's interesting is we did a piece at Finance Technologies on the great federal centralization, and we noticed that at the end of the financial crisis in 2009, U.S. debt to GDP was 60%, and now we stand at 120%. And between 2009 and 2019, pre-COVID, we added another $11 trillion in debt, about $1.1 trillion a year. And then COVID comes, and another stick save for the system, inflate or die. We added another $8 trillion or $2 trillion a year. So the rate at which they got to grow in credit creation, it's all about credit creation and flow. To keep the Ponzi scheme from rolling over, it just keeps accelerating. And if you're trying to figure out why there's all this crazy stuff going on in the world, it's due to the fact they need to create credit. Wars are a good way of creating credit. Pandemics are a good way of creating credit. They need to continually create credit. And we're getting to the point now where, the solvency of the U.S. I'm not worried about the U.S. going bankrupt anytime soon, but the capital markets are eventually going to call no mas on this at some point. And it's not so much the U.S. will blow up, but some other country will blow up because of what's going on with the dollar debt reserve currency. And the dollar is choking other countries into and is going to cause a currency crisis somewhere else, which will, I think, unravel this whole thing.
Yeah, and Ed, you were talking, I don't remember everything you said, but when you were talking about the manipulation and the underlying real state of the economy and, you know, how this thing has been saved and extended, to that point, let me add a few things. And not only are we dealing with this long-term sixth economic cycle and a downturn from that cycle, but let me tell you something else I discovered when I discovered, you know, the sixth economic cycle. I started looking at things and, like I said, trying to find anchor points and common denominators with that cycle as well. And not only did I find, again, that every major crisis and panic in history has been on the, you know, associated with the decline out of one of those long-term cycles, but something else that's interesting is that I only have data going back, I say only, but the long-term cycle data I have going back to 1800, I have M2 data going back to 1865. And something else to paint the backdrop of where we are, I've discovered that there was one exception. It was a minor exception, but it can be explained. But other than that one exception, and that was in like 1957, I think, we were on the upside piece of the economic cycle. So that alone is a filter for this. So that was the one exception. But other than that, what I found was that every time the M2 growth rate has dropped below the zero line, it has also been associated with the downside portion or the downturn out of one of these long-term six economic cycles. That happened last November. And so...
Yeah, so that happened in November, and then we had banking failures out of nowhere in March. And then another Band-Aid or two with the Fed Bank Term Funding Program and the government spending. And where are we now? I know commodities had a little rally, and they tried to, go higher than that previous high in June of 22. But they seem to have topped out, and it's not looking like they're able to save it this time. And that's why I think the setup you're seeing in the stock market, you got to remember, people, all these things are all interrelated, and they set up. The stock market, when it goes, it could be 4 weeks setup, could be 6 months, but when it goes, it goes. And the market breadth is awful. It's seven stocks carrying this whole thing. I think the top seven market cap stocks are up 109% this year, while the average stock's up two. So, this is not what we call a healthy market. And when those big seven roll, that's when we've got a problem.
Yeah, and Ed, there's a couple of things I'll add to that. Within this six economic cycle, and for people to get this in your mind, just imagine six sine waves, okay? And within this sixth sine wave that began at the O2 low, I have identified something. I call it, just simplistically, I call it my checkmate chart, and there's a number of things I'm looking for there to set up that will give us basically the setup in which the downturn out of that sixth economic cycle can happen. Like I said, we've seen that twice now. We saw it in 07. We had the decline. It was saved. We saw it in 2020. We had the decline. I was able to pull another rabbit out of the hat. We're back in an environment where that can happen again, and that's one of the things I'm monitoring. And with, commodities is a factor there. I don't, there's some things I'm looking for, with commodities. It's not conclusive yet if that's in place, but it looks like it's trying to materialize. Also with the turning of interest rates, that's another piece of it. And it looks to me like if I'm forced to give you an answer, I would say that I think that the rate turn is probably underway. It certainly looks that way based on any historical precedent. Should that not be proved to be the case, then I think it would definitely be a fluke, but we're in the ballpark, and I really think that we've probably seen the turn. And so once those things materialize, and then, because of that, let me digress for a minute. Because of that, we're seeing this easing of inflation. Not that groceries aren't still sky high, but we're seeing that gas prices are better than they were, and the CRB is kind of weak, and we're seeing interest rates wanting to roll over, and so things are looking up. The stock market just pushed above their August high, and so they come out and they're talking about this soft landing, and what they're really seeing appears to be the setup for this, what I deem this checkmate chart, which is, it's a process. Everything's a process. But I think what we're seeing is it trying to set up just like it did in 07 and 2020. And how quickly it sets up, I don't know. Have to monitor it. It could be a month. It could be 6 months. I don't know. It's just, you have to watch it. And the data is what it is.
I think what people need to understand is since the 07 to 09 downturn, it's been zero interest rates for 14 years. They kept the thing on life support, and then 2020 occurred. They reinflated again. They were able to, inject trillions of dollars of credit into the system, credit creation, more debt. And then think about this, people. We saw the checkmate chart set up in 00, 01, we saw it set up in 2020, that was confirmed, and it's only 3 years later and it's trying to set up again, meaning that they're losing control and they can't create enough credit to stop what's coming, and that the natural cycle that they've been trying to fight will eventually take hold. M2, for the first time since World War II, went negative in November, and what we're seeing is just kind of in the realm of history, it's a blip. In the realm of, you know, individuals, they think it's a long time, and it's been a year. People are like, why isn't the economy collapsing? Well, it is. The financial markets are going to follow, and they're trying to set up again, is the point we're trying to make. And I think one of the things that scares me is your commodity work is quite good, and it looks like we got a really nice top in June of 2022. That was a three-year cycle top, and you're thinking we may have had a three-year cycle low, and maybe even trying a three-year cycle low in commodities, and the rally out of that may have put in a three-year cycle top. We're not sure yet, but if that's the case, that top will be lower than the top in June of 22, and if that violates the previous low, then we got problems.
Right, and again, the setup with that is going to provide key, you know, some major clues along the way. If I start to see evidence that 3-year cycle top has in fact peaked, which I do see evidence that it has, but I just can't confirm it yet. But that's going to be another one of the boxes to check with this setup. But to your point on the economy, before I forget, Ed, let me add a couple things to paint the picture of this backdrop. Not only do we have this M2 deal, but looking at something else I found, going back to 1948, I found that every time the growth rate of federal tax receipts had fallen below the zero line, that it had also been associated with a decline out of a 4-year cycle top. Well, to put that in perspective, this is longer term stuff, and I don't remember the details of what I found, but I went back and looked at the time lag. Well, how long does it take before you see that 4-year cycle top? Because that occurrence, it sets the backdrop. It doesn't mean it happens immediately. It sets the backdrop. And it was up to like 18 months to 2 years type thing, as I recall, before you saw the top. In some cases, it was more immediate. And in a couple of cases, I think it actually, the 4-year top came in early. So again, these cycles are fluid. So you're working all the ends to the middle with the data points. And another one I found that was pretty interesting is that since 1949, when the unemployment growth rate had risen above the zero line, that has 100% of the time been associated with a recession. So that has also happened. And so we have all these things in place. And again, interest rates are easing. The inflationary pressures are easing. And the market's at a new high. And everybody thinks it's a soft landing.
Yeah, you know, the underlying economic fundamentals are horrible. And we did get a bounce in our economic cycle indicators. And part of that was due to the financial markets rising. So that's part of our economic cycle indicators is financial markets. But it did not bounce above and take us out of recessionary indicators. It's improved. And we've seen this before historically where there's a sharp downturn in our economic cycle indicators, a bounce, a dead cat bounce, and then a rollover. And I think we're close to this all coming to completion in 2024. We have a commercial real estate refinancing looming. Commercial real estate is having issues. We have housing demographically going to peak in 2025. The millennial housing boom is about to hit a demographic wall. It just seems to me that we're coming to a very precarious time where credit creation already is a no-go on the private sector. We're seeing government credit creation, and that is going to become unsustainable at some point. So we're conspiring for a lot of pain going forward. People are already feeling it economically. It's just the financial markets and the mainstream media. That's what people focus on. And until the stock market crashes, people won't know anything's going on. It's already going on, in my humble opinion. The economy, the real economy, is in the tank. Real estate transactions are at an all-time low. There's no housing turnover. It's bad.
Yeah, it's clear that what is happening. Like I said, it's a process with this setup, and part of the process, again, because of the missing markers with that August high is we had to get above that high. So now with that behind us and with interest rates softening, I know I'm repeating myself, but I'm reiterating, with interest rates softening and the easing of inflationary pressure, it looks like a soft landing. But in reality, you know, this thing is just quietly setting up. And that in of itself is a risk. And the unfortunate thing is that, you know, people don't listen to this kind of stuff until it's too late. But it's kind of like reading, it's just data. It's kind of like reading a data log on, you know, a car or a blood test from a doctor or whatever. It's data, and it's telling us what it's telling us. And these things, unfortunately, they take so long sometimes to set up that people lose sight and I guess patience, and they think that everything is okay. I look around here at the spending and the building in this area, and it's absolutely amazing, and people have no clue what's really setting up when you're going on.
Well, people have been asking me for action items since I think you and I were pretty bearish in the beginning of 2022. That turned out to be right for 22. And people have been asking me what to do in 23. And my indication from what I'm seeing is there's a lot of pain financially yet to come. And, I'm not giving stock recommendations. I'm not giving market timing recommendations, because most people don't have the time to monitor all this. I've been suggesting just, take some of your portfolio and put it into a short-term government money market fund, or buy T-bills directly. And that's going to preserve capital the best in the downturn when the financial markets start to wake up and stocks go down their traditional 30 to 50% in a recession. And, I believe the real economy is already in a recession. It's just we printed a GDP number 4.6%, a lot of that was government spending and then some garbage accounting. But it's coming, and when it comes, it's going to be bad.
Yeah, and Ed, I actually spoke to someone that's, a lot of us technicians that have seen, or a lot of us analysts that have seen this thing coming. I spoke to a guy actually yesterday, and that I respect a lot, and kind of a mentor of mine from way back in the day, and I'll leave his name nameless, but I was talking to him about this, and I point out, I say, name one bubble in history that has not come unwound, and there's not one. I mean, every bubble in history has come unwound. And I was talking to him about that, and he agreed with that. And, the attempts, to put this in perspective, the attempts in 2000, in 2007, in 2000, or in 2020, for this sixth economic cycle to come unwound, we saw declines of, somewhere in the neighborhood of 40, 50% type thing. Oh, that's a hell of a decline. I'm not dismissing that. But they were quickly... it quickly recovered from the intervention and, the efforts of spending and that sort of thing. But, for this bubble to come unwound in a true downturn out of a sixth economic cycle, it has to be, we're looking at something greater than that. If we get a 40, 50% decline and they're able to save it, then this thing hasn't come unwound. We're going to go through another cycle, if you will, of another saved job, with more inflation, with more, increased government spending. We're going to go through another 2007. I'm not saying it's going to be that long, but we're going to go through another 2009 to 2020 type time frame, or another 2020 to whenever this is, 2023, 2024 time frame, where things blow up again and the bubble just gets bigger, or they're not going to be able to save it. And we're looking at something much greater than 50%. We're looking at something in the neighborhood of, who knows what the number is, 70, 80, 90%.
Right. And you'll make the call. We'll make the call down there at 50%. And if they'll react. They'll throw the kitchen sink at it, and we'll figure out whether or not it's going to work. and then, you know, you want to get on board that rally again if that happens. But we don't know. We just know that, you know, 30 to 50% clip in the stock market's coming. And they're probably not going to be able to avoid that. But whether they save it again remains to be seen. I think an introduction of the CBDC likely occurs down at the bottom there. And that's going to be another attempt at a stick save, central bank digital currency. The thing, I just want to put some historical perspective on all this stuff. You know, the banking system, the Federal Reserve banking system, the credit creation, the fractional reserve system, the debt-based fiat system is a long-term generational Ponzi scheme. And it continuously blow bigger and bigger bubbles to keep the thing going. And after the 87 stock market crash, they pumped money into the system, and it brought the economy back out. But then there was a recession. They started raising interest rates in the 90s. And then what was uncovered? What fraud was uncovered after that little bubble of easy money? That was the S&L crisis. Then they cut interest rates again, and then we had the dot-com boom. That was that, and that fraud, which also resulted in corporate fraud, that was after they started raising interest rates again. That was uncovered. Then they lowered interest rates again to pull us out of the 2001-2002 recession. We had the war on terror, which was a lot of government spending, and we had the real estate big banking systemic fraud. And then we had the crisis in 2008-2009, and what happened there? The Federal Reserve and other central banks came in and did what they had never done before. They bought assets onto their own balance sheet, and the fraud rolled from banks onto the balance sheets of the central banks. You go forward 14 years, and my contention is this bubble and this fraud is now central bank and government fraud, political fraud. And we've seen a great centralization of the federal government. It's taken over and subsidized the state budget. 40% of the state budgets now are on the balance sheet of the federal debt. Total public debt used to be 33% state and local at the end of the 2009 crisis. It's now only 10%, and 40% of those budgets are coming from the Fed. So what's gone on has been a centralization of power. Central banks are now, talked about all the time. Government politicians spend money like drunken sailors, and here we are. And whatever you see going on is an attempt to save the system, keep it going. And everything you see, wars, pandemics, anything to create more credit, it lies at the feet of the central bankers and politicians, not whatever the event is.
You nailed it. That's it. That's exactly right, Ed. And that begs the question, what are we going to see when this downturn comes? By definition, or what you just said, by definition then, we're going to see something else, and it has to be even bigger. Because each time it's been something bigger. So,
something bigger. And that's why I jokingly say, not really joking, tongue-in-cheek, if there is UFO disclosure and we have to spend money to prevent the aliens from invading us, that, in my mind, is the mother of all government spending programs, and I'll be very suspicious there are aliens at that point.
Well, we have the aliens, we have the thing going on, and that's one of the things, I digress from it, but that's one of the things that made the call so hard, you know, back in the fall. We have this, and I don't think it's gone away, but we have the thing going on in the Middle East, we have the election coming up. I think that's going to be nasty, nasty. And I'll go on and look say something that I'm just connecting dots, but you know, I think my best hunch is, you know, 2023 we kind of treaded water, not much happened. You know, the first half of 2023 we were in an environment where we could have seen the setup, we could have seen the interest rates start to roll, we could have seen things start to come together, but it didn't. And then in July and August it got blown out, and then, you know, the rest of the year we spent with the correction, and now back up to the new high. So 2023 was kind of a tread water, nothing happened type year, and we lost the opportunity for the setup. I suspect, I don't know how we're going to get through 2024 without this setup, you know, coming to pass. I mean, maybe it doesn't, but I suspect that it will. And then I think the fireworks begin November 5th of next year with the election.
Well, I think the setup might come before that.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I agree.
Yeah. I think we'll be in financial chaos by the time the election comes along. One thing I want to say is, and again, this is not a market timing call, but in my humble opinion, it looks, and again, we need to see structure, which we don't have yet, but it seems to me that the ferocity of this rally in the last 20, you know, some odd days has been, in my mind, very bearish. The faster the market moves up, it takes out all the shorts. So that shorts, you get to understand, are potential buyers when things go lower. They've been taken out. We have all hedge funds crowded into seven stocks that are performing the best. And I think, in my humble opinion, I'm going to need your help in explaining this to the audience, but we could be setting up a very less translated cycles that when we get structure, they're going to go fast. And in my humble opinion, I think this thing sets up in the next 6 weeks. But that's me, not market timing call. I could be wrong, but that's what I think. I think we're going to start to see this thing unravel sometime in January.
Well, I'm going to say, Ed, I don't know. Like I said, it can. I actually can't make that call at this juncture, but I can.
Well, I know you can't, but that's my hunch.
No. You may be right. You may be right. I'm not discounting what you're saying at all. Not in the least. I don't know, because it can, just like this could be. This could be like the summer of 08 prior to the last push down, and then that last final push up into October. I mean, that could be where the scenario we're at. I don't know. I have to see the structure as it unfolds, and it can fall in place quickly. I mean, within weeks or certainly within a month or so. So, you know, that's something that I'm monitoring, and, you know, we see it when we see it.
For people listening, we're not making a market call. I'm not. That's my hunch. If Tim sees some structure and finance technologies, we're seeing economic indicators rolling over again. We've had an uptick in them. They're not anywhere close to pulling out of recession. If we start seeing those roll over, we see structure fall into place. We'll make some noise and do another interview. It's just my opinion this is going to set up in the next 6 weeks. And, you know, 6 weeks from now, we'll have more data and more information. But the point we want to make, and Tim wants to make, and I want to make, is that when this sets up, it's not going to be slow. It's going to be quick.
Yes. I think so. And I remember, let me give some, I remember, Ed, this is, I've seen this a couple of times, but I remember in 2020, I was standing at a neighbor's house, and a woman was crying about the loss that they had taken in the market, and because it happened so fast. And, you know, I saw that also in 2007. And so that's the kind of thing I'm talking about, is that I see the data. The data is absolutely undeniable, the environment we're in. And to your point, it's going to set up when it sets up. And when it does, I agree, it should be quick, and it's going to happen fast. And then people are going to be trapped.
And the thing that people need to understand about 2020 was an exogenous event, meaning we as a globe decided to shut down the economy, and that took the stock markets down. And then that gave the central banks and politicians an excuse to create credit, which took us out of that quickly. And then they created inflation, and we went to new all-time highs and even higher high in the stock markets. The problem now is this, what's coming is endogenous. It's internal to the system, and that's the biggest danger is that the Humpty Dumpty market finally unravels, and they can't put them back together again. That's the fear. That's what we think is potentially setting up. And They'll try at the bottom to stick save it again at around 40-50% with some emergency new powers and trying to introduce the UBI, Universal Basic Income, in my humble opinion, and tied with central bank digital currency. That's the game. That's why they've been talking about a great reset since the beginning of COVID, because they know the system can't hold.
Right. And like you said, it's a failed system or a flawed system or a doomed system, however you said it, from the beginning. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing the system coming to a head with this sixth economic cycle. And I think that once it goes, it's the end of the system as we know it. Talking about the 2024, again, I'm not making a forecast. I'm just making an observation of how I potentially see the dots connecting here, because I'm going to go by the data as I see it, when I see it, and I'll cover it then. But again, I suspect that as we go into 2024, prior to the election, we'll probably be set up. I suspect that there may be some sort of a relief type rally coming out of the election, depending on exactly how that goes. But I think there may be some sort of a relief type, counter trend rally. But then I think, the real unwinding comes after the election. So what I'm saying is I think we see the setup, and I'm not saying there couldn't be a swift decline. I mean, it could be. I mean, who we don't know. Like you said, I suspect when it starts, it could be extremely swift. So we could see that type of 2020 type decline prior to the election potentially. But what I'm saying is I don't think the real pain begins until after the election. So that's kind of
how I agree. Yeah. We're going to decline. A stick save, a rally, and then after that rally fails, then it's game over.
Right.
So, it's going to be very difficult treading financially over the next couple years. And, the buy and hold ETF strategy is going to come into question, I believe, over the next 2 to 3 years. And it's going to be very interesting. We're running long. Why don't we just talk a little bit briefly about the dollar? I think you made an observation to me that's very interesting. I've been saying for years now that this ends with the dollar at new all-time highs. We got some cycle work to do on the dollar, but you made an observation that since the great great financial crisis or 2001, the dollar.
Since the four-year cycle low, and I believe it was, I'm not looking at the chart, but I believe it was 08, Ed, the four-year low in 08 on the dollar.
All right, the four-year low in the 08, every four-year cycle low has been higher than the previous low, meaning the dollar is trending up on the long-term chart. And that means, people have been talking about the death of the dollar since the great financial crisis. And every four-year cycle low is higher than the previous four-year cycle low. So that tends to give credence to the fact that it's a debt-based dollar reserve system. When you create more dollars, you create more debt. And as the system starts to contract, and it looks like it's contracting long-term, meaning they keep trying to create dollars, but it's not enough to offset the credit destruction that's coming.
Right. And in the short term, there's an intermediate, and when I say intermediate, I'm talking a cycle of approximately a year in duration. But so you have, these intermediate term cycles embedded within the context of the four-year cycle, and the next four-year cycle low in the dollar is ideally due. Again, cycles contract, expand slightly, but ideally the four-year cycle low is due in mid-2024. And so I think we're set up for the last leg down into that four-year cycle low as we move into 2024. And having said what you said, with each four-year cycle low since 08 having occurred at a higher and higher level, the expectation is to see this next four-year cycle low occur at a higher level than the previous four-year cycle low. And then that'll be a launch pad I think, for what you're saying, which I agree with 100%. But, you know, there's two sides to every coin. And let's say that this next four-year cycle low comes in lower, then that may be a red flag. We have to readdress that. But until I see
absolutely.
Yes, but until
my guess, and I'm gonna probably won't agree with me, but I'm thinking the four-year cycle low on the dollar is coming earlier this year, earlier in 2024 in the first quarter. Because I think the unraveling begins then. Now, I could be wrong. Again, it's a hunch. But, the pieces are falling into place, people. And it's going to be very difficult to market time, so don't try it. That's why I'm just saying, you know, move to cash and wait for the dust to settle. Don't try to buy puts or short the market, because that's the losing game. But I think we're going to see a Q1 unraveling begin, the dollar putting in a nice low, and then the dollar advancing.
Yeah, and
I think it could be early on the timing band, is my point.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with you, Ed, not at all, because anytime you have a longer-term cycle low due, you can see that cycle occur a little early. So that is entirely possible. I don't disagree. You know, we'll know when we get there, but anyway, I just wanted to add that, you know, in the interim, I think the dollar's going to be under pressure until we get into that low. Ed, what else?
Well, listen, Tim, I think that's it. I think we're running a little long, and I think we covered a lot of ground. And, you know, the backdrop is there's been six saves. M2 is negative. We're on the back. We think we're on the backside of the commodity sixth economic cycle, and that usually augurs for crisis after crisis on the horizon.
Yep. And Ed, why don't you do this? Why don't you give, if anyone wants to get in touch with you or you know, your organization and finance technologies, how would they do so?
FinanceTechnologies.com with a PH instead of an F. We've done a lot of work on the vaccine stuff. We really haven't. We've been talking about starting a hedge fund, raising capital. We haven't really started that yet, but we did add a new member to our team on the hedge fund side, who's a PhD physicist who's worked with Carlos in the past at various hedge fund incarnations in Europe. So we're going to get rolling on that. I'm on Twitter at Dowd Edward, D-O-W-D Edward, on Getter at Edward Dowd. And so things continue to move along, and the information, unfortunately, about the vaccine is getting out there, not as fast as I would like, but word of mouth is spreading, and the most recent booster uptake is 6-7%, so that's good. And I think we're living in, you know, people, we're living in dystopian times. We're living in a world where it's full-spectrum deception. Almost everything you see in the media is nonsense and lies. You know, there's the Ukraine war was nothing more than a giant grift to send money over there to find its way back into the politicians here and the contractors here. Yeah, the Ukrainian politicians are buying villas in Europe, and it's a joke. And now we have the Gaza situation, lots of questions swirling around that, and it just seems like we're going to see more and more of these, I don't want to say completely manufactured, but allowed to occur events that allow government spending to increase.
All in an attempt to inflate. And,
yep.
Ed, I want to say thanks for your time. It's been a while, but it was time we spoke. And anyone interested in getting in touch with me or my work, you know, I cover these things. And it sounds complicated, but it's really not. I lay it out in my research letters, and I can be reached at cyclesman.com. The research is available there. Ed, let's talk soon. Don't know when, but when the timing is right, let's reconvene. For now, I want to say thank you very much, and we'll talk soon.
Talk soon, and remember, people, we're not going to call the top. We're going to be on the other side of it and probably give you a warning after it's already begun, because that's what we do. We see evidence that the top is in place. So we're not going to call the top. We're going to come in hopefully sooner than most people to say get out of the way if you already haven't.
Yep, and I'm going to do my best for my subscribers to call it as closely in real time as I can. And I think I can get close, but you know, it's a probability game. We'll see how that goes. Ed, thank you for your time.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Tim. Have a great one.
Yes, sir.